You're listening to Building Bridges. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash.
Spectrum Cable strikes that two-year mark, but they keep on keeping on. We're going to be talking about what's impeding their having a fair and decent contract. It's not only are they looking for the wages and benefits, but they're interested in taking over the cable franchise in a workers' cooperative. I'm delighted to have Troy Walcott, Local 3 IBEW shop steward, striking Spectrum technician, and also striking Spectrum technician Ray Reyes. They have enormous expertise. They've been working in this field for a long time, and it is a sheer disgrace what Spectrum is doing, and we want Spectrum the hell out of New York. But why don't we open with Troy, who we've known for a long time. We've been painfully covering this strike, and we're not. We're going to open up with a news feed
by the striking workers.
Okay, then we're going to open up with Troy.
Spectrum took over Time Warner Cable in 2016 and promised to be good to residents. They haven't been. Spectrum has raised prices on customers for less service, took away employees' retirement and medical plans, humiliated and terminated workers, and lied about providing service to underserved areas like they agreed to do. So, we went on strike. Then we had an idea. Why do we need them? The customers pay for the service, we built and maintain it. So why do we need the people who just raise prices and ruin things? We don't. The customers hate this company. We hate this company. Why not join forces and get rid of them? So, the plan is to fire Spectrum and put new owners in their place. The new owners are us. With the public and the workers as owners, we can put new management in place to focus on customer service and quality. Then we can collect the billions of dollars we have been paying them to mistreat us and use it for our city instead. Go to unplugspectrum.com. Click on Time for a New Cable option in the middle of the screen and fill out the form to show your support. From this list, we will give the first 1 million people the opportunity to be an owner of New York's cable system. Together, we can own this city. Sign up now to support and win. 1 million will become owners. Millions of others will have better service at lower cost, and the city will benefit. The only loser is Spectrum. Let's find out what this city looks like when the people own it. Share this video and join the movement. Spectrum is bad. That's it.
It's a very exciting message, but let's go back to the origin of this. And Troy, what the heck happened with Spectrum, and tell us about what's been going on with the workers.
Well, in a simple message, once Spectrum Cable moved to do the merger to take over the company, they already had in their plan where they came in saying that they were going to negotiate, but what they came in for was strictly the union bust. Their only goal was to try to get Local 3 from out of the city. So they put in place work rules and stop progression from us moving forward. Anything they could do to hinder us or try to make us feel demeaned in the workplace, once they that wasn't working, or they wouldn't sit down and negotiate a contract that they had to negotiate what they'll be working without, then they looked to do the worst thing they could to us, is to try to take away our pension and our medical benefits. And then when it got to that point, we had enough is enough, and that's when we actually went out on strike. I've worked with Time Warner Cable before Spectrum. I've been here for 20 years.
Ray, what about yourself? Your thoughts on all of this, and how long have you worked? You're also a technician.
Yes, I was in the business class arena. It was a little different, but we still dealt with the customers every day. And when I first got there, it was a great company. And then you could tell towards right about a year or so before the merger, the management changed, and it got much more aggressive. But the whole time I was there, it was more, get the job done, it'll be fine. And all of a sudden, you have to do two. You have to do three. You have to do four. Stay late. Stay there. And it just kept upping and upping and
upping. They'll give you boxes. They say, listen, this box isn't working. The customers are complaining. Don't worry. Just keep putting them in. Listen, the customers are complaining that they're not getting the service on time. Listen, don't worry. Just get there when you get there. Things began to come from working to help the customer. And they started working more towards getting the numbers to where they wanted to get it.
It seemed to me like their Time Warner was trying to set up, look how great we are for sale. In the old days, you went there and they say, don't worry. They cared more about how the job was done. Once Spectrum started coming, or they were getting ready for the sale, It was amazing, just drop and go. You know, you used to have to stay there, check the channels with the customer. They didn't want that anymore. Did it lock? Go. The minute you saw the light go on, they didn't want you to test anything. Just go. Just kept running. It was terrible. It just became very stressful. It went from a job that you loved going to like, okay, what are they going to have me do today? It was crazy.
What were the main givebacks they wanted which provoked the strike?
One of the worst things they were doing was the work rules that they will be in place. They started, this is part of the Attorney General's lawsuit. What they were doing was promising customers a certain amount of service, but they knew they couldn't provide it, and they were still charging customers up prices for it. So they would go in and have us put in this equipment that they know couldn't provide the internet service that the customers were asking for, and then even though it couldn't provide it, then they would penalize us for it.
You would go and you would do a dry run and test the speed, and your meter would say that it was only going to be able to do half of what they were promising. The equipment wasn't even upgraded to do it. The equipment on the, and the plant on the outside were not ready for the service, yet they kept charging them that higher premium. And then when the customer would call back and say, I'm not getting my top speed, they would then punish the technician by saying, you know what, your work is not up to par, you can't advance. And you would call them up and you would tell your foreman, listen, the modem is never going to make it.
They knew it would never make it.
The plant's never going to make it. Don't worry. Put it in. We'll deal with it.
But with our union, you had to take educational courses, fiber optics, electronics, computer classes in order to progress. So they came in and said they wanted to change the standard for progression. What we didn't know is the standard that they changed it to shortly after, they got people from their management staff appointed to the board of directors that administers the testing and administers the curriculum. So we saw our numbers begin to dramatically drop as far as progression. So everything they had was basically towards moving us to a position where they wanted us to strike, and that was because their goal was to try to get the union out, not try to work with us.
And how many workers are we talking about, and who are the workers?
1,800 men and women that deal with anything and everything that had to do with the technical aspect of providing cable to New York City.
It was the plant, it was the installations, it was the repairs, it was the call center, it was anytime you dealt with someone that had to deal with your cable, other than paying your bill, you dealt with a union person who was a lot of times had a lot of experience and had a lot of training and was trying to get the job done the best they could.
But pity the poor downtrodden boss, right? Spectrum comes in, they get this company from Time Warner, and they're just hurting. They're just building up again. What is a poor boss to do? What? Pensions, benefits, education plans, not taking the time out on the hide of the consumer and the technician. Of course, I'm being tongue-in-cheek here, but tell us about who the heck Spectrum is as a company. Are they this poor little, pity the downtrodden that comes in, and who are they?
They are actually the second largest cable provider in the country.
Spectrum Cable makes, $41 billion last year, and their CEO is on the highest paid, makes $100 million a year. Tom Rutledge. Believe me, they're not hurting for money at all.
Lives in a mansion in Connecticut.
This was never about money for us. We weren't asking for anything. All we were trying to do was just maintain the life that we already had built 40 years. We built this city. 40 years it took us to build and put the city together. And in 2 years, these companies came in. They're not even from here. They're not from New York. But they're coming and trying to tear it apart. Everything that has to do with New York. And it's not just about us. It's about the customers. It's about the elected officials. Every government agency that they lied to. Every promise that they made and they continue to break. They don't care anything about New York City besides taking what profit they can, taking from the city and running.
And I went to a major demonstration where we marched with you folks from Brooklyn over to Foley Square.
It was a great event.
It was a great, and then the politicians were falling all over each other to say this was a union town. Cuomo, I almost marched arm in arm, not completely, Mayor de Blasio. So where are they? They said they supported the workers. They still have the possibility, and they did then, to say, you ain't getting the renewal of the franchise, Spectrum, unless you keep the living standard, keep the benefits of these Spectrum workers. So what's happened since then?
Maybe they're still at the rally stand. And then listen, this is a true fact, because in the last two elections, I speak to a couple of family and friends, because right now I'm much more politically involved since this has happened. And I just ask them offhand, like, who are you voting for? And they'll tell me, well, you know, I'm voting for this person. I saw them with you up on stage at the rallies. I said, yeah, you know what? That's the last time I saw them, too.
They're there for the photo op, and then you don't hear from them. I mean, there have been a couple of local assemblymen who have been good because we live in their district. But by and large, it's really been a lot of lip service. I know and I understand. I appreciate that the franchise was written very poorly and it leans in the company's way. But there are things that they can do and pressures they can put and levers they can pull where they can let it be known that if you don't do the right thing, we want you gone.
And if not, at least don't come in and say that. Continue to promote that it's a union town. We've been out here now for 2 years. When we sit at home and we've been out for 2 years and hear these people get out and say it's a union town and it has to be union, you better be union, and we know that behind the scenes they say support for us but don't actually do anything, it tears us apart to hear these people say over and keep that out of your mouth. Don't say that this is a union town and you support unions 100% if you're not willing to do what it takes to come out and fight for us. Fighting for us is doing more than just coming on the stage and saying it one day and we never see you again. Fighting for us is actually doing stuff to take action and stay involved. There are some politicians who continue to support us and say things about us and keep our name out there, and we definitely appreciate that. If I could say some of them names, yes. I would. And there's some of them that the last time that we saw them was only on that stage when you saw them.
What is it meant for you? Where does the spirit and the energy come from? 2 years and counting, Ray Reyes and Troy Walcott. What does it mean? How important is it for you to keep persevering and to demand that you get your just dessert from the work that you do?
I mean, there's many reasons, but for me, the main reason I do it is there are guys who have been my foreman, my coworkers, and the guys who put 20, 25, 30 years, but, you know, due to circumstance, they're 3 or 4 years too young to retire. I stay out there so that these guys can go back with dignity and retire 100% vested. I think it's disgusting that a company would tell these guys, you're 55 and we don't want you anymore and we're going to kick you to the curb. Thank you for building it. Thank you for making us all this money, but now, goodbye. I do it for those guys. I want those guys to be able to go back and say, maybe give a profane gesture to the company and retire with some dignity.
Well, me is for, like, I get a call like from one of my guys the other day. This is somebody that I've watched take the progression in the company, fight to get books. Now, the person has a son already that's disabled. Everything in his life was trying to make sure he has as much time possible to make sure he spends with this kid. So he did everything he could to bust his butt to get to a point in the company where he can build up to actually provide for his family and live a life where he can spend as much time possible with his kids. He called me now. He's working two jobs. One is a custodian and another one working at a gym. From the gym now, he's doing cleaning. And somebody else there who had a $1 million job is working right next to him doing the same thing because hard times fall on everybody. And the people at the gym ask him, you don't belong here. You don't seem like you belong at this place. How did you end up here? And no matter what, whether he's doing a custodian, he said he's cleaning. If you're doing cleaning toilets as a custodian, and he's doing it, and you ask him why, it's because he feels that this fight is more important to keep going because his kid's future and everything that he's fighting for and his character and his value is more important than going back to a company that he knows is trying to destroy him. When I get calls like that from people that are fighting that hard, people are putting that much effort in and staying out only on character, there's no way that I could turn back and not go and do everything I could to help them.
So there's one other even scummier piece. They're trying to decertify, and I'm not sure everybody knows what decertify
means. Management's doing it also.
Management is trying to actually decertify, meaning that you no longer, that your local would no longer be the bargaining agent. You would no longer have a union. So tell us about that struggle that these scurrilous, wealthy plutocrats, these bosses, are engaging.
And the best part is they tell the workers, we can better represent your interests than your union can. And you look at them and you're like, anyone who buys that, I have a bridge for you.
But they are trying to do that, right?
Well, no. According to them, it's not them. It's allegedly, it's not them. It's all coming from the workers.
Send out an internal email to have all the employees saying that you should decertify this union.
Correct. So that's their in and around way of doing it. What actually happened was there was somebody hired at the company, Bruce Carver, as a supervisor. Right before the time where it became possible for certification to take place, this person that was a supervisor,
Bruce Carberry,
amazingly dropped down to the level of a technician.
Bruce Carberry.
Put you guys on the news.
Once he dropped down to a technician, it made him eligible to be able to put together the certification petition.
They lowered him to a Tech 3, and when we left, the Tech 3 made $13.50 an hour. So at most, even if you did a ton of overtime, maybe you'd hit $40,000. This guy made $95,000.
For some reason, even though he's not, company's not behind it, he seems to make $60,000 more than his position is entitled for.
And but he doesn't even do, and he doesn't even do the work.
He was the person that brought forth the decertification petition, and we challenged that at the NLRB, and some of the stuff that goes on as far as the laws that's in place, I can't understand, because even a blind man could see. If you have a person who miraculously moved from a supervisor to a technician position at a perfect time and to try to decertify and then also make $60,000 more a year than the position is worth, how can you not see that that's somebody intentionally looking to desert?
Bruce Carberry. Yeah,
the rotten NLRB didn't throw this thing out, though, the National Labor Relations Board. So something's going on there.
Correct. So that's why I always wonder, if that's the case, who's on our side? Who's the one that's helping for us? If someone could see this, anybody could look for coming out from the outside looking in, and no one's going to help to protect us, who's on our side?
The people listening here are going to be on your side. So now let's move to, we understand how wealthy, how scummy, how incompetent, how do-nothing, how, well, they're vampires. Right? They suck the blood out of the workers and they make the profits for themselves. Classic. Where do we go from here and what do we want support for? Because I know, now I said, oh, we want de Blasio, right? And we want Cuomo to say, hell no, you don't get the franchise. You folks are saying, and you're talking now about a workers' cooperative to get a franchise, which is really exciting. So tell us more about that.
They don't deserve the franchise. They don't deserve to negotiate for it. They don't deserve to have it. They don't deserve
and
to have
just,
it this moment.
Excuse me one sec. The franchise is that the city gives them permission to cable our streets, to
and
use
the, state.
The public land and the state.
Correct. It's
a, right.
It gives them the permission to do business.
Nothing.
And make, without that, they
so
can't
the
make a single dollar.
So the city has a lot of control. So
you would think.
How do we get to that point of that workers' co-op?
The Public Service Commission has already seen this company doing bad. They've broke so many promises. It came to the point where it's unprecedented. The Public Service Commission told them to leave the city. But because there's nothing in place to substitute them, I believe the politicians are more fearful of a backlash from any type of interruption, so they will placate to them and let them have extension over extension over extension to try to stay in the city. But what are they telling their people on the inside? They told them, don't worry, the Public Service Commission 100% will never kick us out of this city. They're laughing at us to their people behind the scenes. And then we have a franchise agreement coming up that's up for renewal. They had violation after violation after violation of that franchise agreement. Those don't go away. So now when it comes time for the franchise agreement, are the people that have to make that decision going to do the same thing and say that, you know what, because we don't want to make a disruption, that we're not going to do anything? If we don't have the guts to do something to move forward to make a positive change, this city needs money for MTA and needs money to keep itself running. Why wouldn't we take on a responsibility like this? Since the city didn't want to do it, the workers are willing to do it. Will we put our 40 years of knowledge to the test? Start our own company with the customers and the citizens. We can own this cable company and move this bad actor out of here. We've already done enough for this city that they don't belong here. Nobody says they want him here. So why wouldn't you take the easiest answer and a step forward to try to get them out?
We built the system. We can maintain the system. We can expand the system. And Troy, don't forget, they've been fined. Didn't they just settle a lawsuit for $174 million?
But this is the thing. That's nothing to them. What he's talking about is the Attorney General lawsuit. So the Attorney General, and they posted it all over the paper. Spectrum has to pay $174 million settlement, the biggest that settlement unprecedented. That's because they were lying to the customers and charging them for services they knew they couldn't provide. Mm-hmm. Now, if you steal something, if it's over $3,000, it's grand larceny, you'll go to jail. These people made $1 billion from stealing from the customers of New York City and had to pay back $174 million. If I'm a company and I can do that, why would I ever stop doing it? I'd do it over and over again. If it was anybody else, if it was a regular person, you stole that much from somebody, you'd be in jail. What they got to do? They steal $1,000 from you and give you back $5 and keep doing business as normal. That's what's happening in this city, and none of these elected officials are doing anything about it to try to stop it.
They also owe the city $6 million in fees that they have collected and still have not handed over. They say it's $6 million right now, and they haven't even invested. They're doing a further investigation. Before you know, it could double or triple.
That's because it's nothing to them.
And you know what you all got to do? You all need to get Ray Reyes. You need to get Troy Wolcott and your other comrades out there to speak to your community group. Because what we were saying before we went on air, not enough people in the public know about this. outrage. This outrage, the outrage to the consumer, the outrage first and foremost to the workers, and you've got to have them come out. And if you want to, you can just give me a holler, and I'll put you in touch with them and get them to come out and talk to you to build community support. And I can be reached at Rosenberg, B-E-R-G, at legal-aid.org. But you can get in touch with me, and I'm going to put you in touch with them. Now, what else can
we
do?
You've also got a dynamite website that people can look at.
Yeah, yeah.
And sign up on that, right?
What's the website?
The website is unplugspectrum.com. That's unplugspectrum.com. You can go on there. What we're going to try to do, especially now,
People can get in touch with you that way. It is a great website.
Correct.
In any event.
Correct. We're going to try to now do a public outreach. We'll be going to the city streets, and we're going to people. If they don't know about us now, we're going to go to them and make sure they know about what's going on and the public option that's available so people can get involved and participate in on this thing.
What else do we need to do to make sure that, well, it's a three-pronged struggle, really, it looks like. One is, I still want the company to capitulate, to give you what your just desserts are. So how do we do that? And how do we, take over the darn company and the franchise work for the workers. How exciting. I think about the Green Bay Packers,
right,
and
right,
so
right,
on.
Right.
Of course we should have workers co-ops that
a
do
very
this.
Famous one right there. Right. Green Bay Packers are very famous.
Yeah, do you know what I'm talking about with the Green Bay Packers?
Only ones
they
who
own
are
the
unnecessary
football.
Is management.
Right.
Right. We, New York, our workers should own these franchises. They're the ones who do the work. They're the ones with the expertise. And it's your blood, sweat, and tears.
Right.
Other locales have done this, and they've run the fiber, and they've maintained it with city workers.
Chattanooga, Tennessee.
And it's been very, very profitable, very, very successful.
Yeah, Jackson, Mississippi.
One of them were actually able to tell Verizon wanted to come in and say, we'll do Fios, and they said, no, thank you. We don't need you. And so everyone's bill was lower. And they said they appreciated the service more.
How do we do this?
The first stage right now is just getting people to support the idea. It's never ever that you'd be able to own a cable company and be part of it and just by signing your name on a piece of paper. We have 2.5 million. I know the AFL-CIO, I listened to the podcast the other day that's recently out. They were talking about 2.5 million union members. It's impossible for 2.5 million not to just go on and support and say, hey, you know what? Even if it's because they were out 2 years or just because I think this is a good idea to go on and support, go on unplugspectrum.com, sign the petition and support that idea. Once it's there, we go on to the next step to actually forming the company to just take over and move this company out completely. Once we own that and we have the political power to now come together with real solidarity, we can own everything because as far as union members, we had a lack of education and moving forward to take the next level that we have to as unions moving forward. We have to start doing that, and we have to start doing it. And the economic engine of owning a cable company could be the biggest thing to help that go forward.
I mean, me personally, I think this is a very viable plan. When guys first went on strike, they were like, I don't think I could do a week. And then we did a week. It became a month, 3 months, 6 months, a year. Now we're almost out 2 years. And there's a very good chunk of us who are still out, who won't cross the line based on principle and based on the fact that we will not capitulate to their vampire tactics, for lack of a better word.
Maybe you can also
get
some
good word.
It really, really is.
Get some decent labor coverage and working class coverage on the cable station. Right now they blocked it all out.
Well, of course, the minute we went, the first 30 days we were on strike, it was fair. We were getting some coverage. It was kind of, I wouldn't say balanced, but it was there. Then all of a sudden they went into full PR mode and they quadrupled their advertising budget, and that's how they bought off the stations.
It's a payoff.
And in other words, if I'm your biggest advertiser, you're not going to step on my toes.
Well, I also want to tell consumers, I'll be damned. I will not get Spectrum. No how.
Thank you very much.
No time.
Thank
no
you.
Place. And I also tell the company why I won't do it. Hell no.
And as they try to expand that mobile service that they're doing, that's an option that everybody has. No one should be picking up their mobile service in this city. Their name should be complete trash when it comes to New York City, if not every place else. Because what they're doing to this in this city alone, they're not even from New York. Since when do people not get to be from New York and come in and run New York?
They were from Missouri originally.
From you folks, I'm in the UAW. I want a resolution that I can take to my union to pass on behalf of you folks. You tell us what you want to do, because we've got to get more visual on board labor support. So I want to see our different locals saying this is what we endorse. Write up, you know,
petition.
Right. What we're doing right now, that's what we're trying to reach out to the rank and file. I'm tired of speaking to the brass for unions, because I speak to union members directly and sometimes they don't hear. I want to reach out to the men and women directly. If there's 60,000 people in your union, I should see 60,000 signatures
local
supporting
Local 2325, UAW, Local 1199, those are the paralegal support staff, etc., that work at the Legal Aid Society.
Very good.
The attorneys. We're going to take up a resolution. That's what I'm looking at. It's a resolution in support of what you want to do. So, Troy,
much appreciated.
I'm going to be on board, and let's get that to our unions to support, and let's get it to our after unions, WBAI's people who are on staff here are in AFTRA. No way we shouldn't support it, and damn well part of that should be, how dare you, de Blasio, ever go on New York One? You said you wouldn't. Damn it, you want to run for president? Get with it, brother. This is a union town. Support our striking Spectrum workers, and support. We don't want Spectrum here anymore. We want a workers' co-op running the cable franchise.
At least mention us.
Yes, at least mention us.
So, this is not the last. I think we should, in another couple of weeks, pick up on this.
We'd love to come here. We'd love to come back.
And can you take us out with a chant? I mean, since you had
we tried that last time. It was horrible.
Quite honestly, it was horrible.
It's
been a while since I've been on the
One last thing I would like to say is, as you listen to this, and if you go on the field that you feel what we're saying is resonates with you, if you're not willing to go on and sign that petition, you don't really care. You have to take action. You can't step back and be a spectator.
Absolutely. And we've been speaking to Troy Walcott, Local 3 IBEW shop steward, striking Spectrum technician. Ray Reyes, striking Spectrum technician. And what does your shirt say? That's going to be our slogan.
Elected officials, don't renew Spectrum's union busting.
Now let's do this in unison, together.
Elected officials,
don't renew Spectrum's union busting.
Give me that website address again.
The website is unplugspectrum.com. That is unplugspectrum.com.
Sign the petition,
and we'll work on it. Some resolutions.
Thank
we're going to get it to our
Thank
unions,
you very much.
Right? We're going to get AFTRA members. We're going to get UAW. We got more to go. Love you, brothers, and stay strong. And
this is
a union town. And listen, listeners, Spectrum, boycott it. Don't do it. And let the company know why. And let your politicians know that we want a worker franchise for the cable. And it is our 2 years and counting strong Spectrum workers. Thank you both.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.